are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smith out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scazz, the rugby.
Jingle bells, anything.
I feel like I can hear 40% strepsils and 40% Christmas.
There's a lot of nasal going on.
And this is the good, the Scazz and the rugby brought to you by Vodafone. Welcome to the show. It's an unusual one because we're all adorned. If you're listening to this and you can't see us, we're adorned in a lot of tinsel. Scazz has broken.
Scazz is throwing up at all the tinsel.
Yeah, she's broken out in hives. It's like a box of tinsel exploded in here. Mo is here as well. She's not wearing tinsel. She is dressed like an elf.
I've always wanted to be an elf. Always. Here I am, living my elf life.
It's a weird thing to aspire to be because it just means you're the little worker bee of the colony and not the main character.
Yeah, but, you know, everyone loves Christmas. And the elves make it because without the elves, you wouldn't have Christmas.
Ooh.
There we are.
What's your favourite film, mate?
Elf.
Favourite ever
film, by the way. Not even just like favourite Christmas film. Like my favourite ever film I've ever watched was Elf. And I actually, Scazz, watched it on the 21st of November this year.
I was going to say, have you watched it yet?
Well, I love that for you.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad Elf season has rolled around so we can celebrate our Mo, the elves, and the great important work they do. And also, just because it's Christmas, I get to have two other South Africans in the studio. And it makes my heart very happy. The Women Box, Captain Babalwa Lacha has rejoined us. She's been a guest on the show before. B is rocking
the radio horns.
And she has bells on them. Make a little... Yeah, she's the jingle bells. And then she has brought with her to the Northern Hemisphere this winter someone we have spoken about, and I've started the Bloomy Fan Club myself. She burst onto the scene during Rugby World Cup 2021. Everyone spoke about her. Where are we going to see Aseza Hele playing next? And the answer is Harlequins.
Yes.
Welcome to Guildford and the wider region, Aseza Hele.
Thank you so much.
We had to send Aseza a special invitation video because she wasn't sure whether she wanted to come play with us. What did you think of Scazzy and Mo's special invitation video, Aseza?
The one that you taught her to speak Xhosa.
Yes.
I was so impressed. And I was like, yay, okay, I'm coming. At least there's someone that like puts an effort to learn my language. So I was like, okay, I was impressed.
For a change.
Yeah.
But the problem is that I was the person trying to teach her. So we probably went awry quite badly.
No, it was not bad at all.
Right?
No, it was perfect. Okay. You said the right words. Yes.
So how have you found it? Have you turned to Babalwa at any point in the last few weeks? Because heerlijkheid, it has been a little cold, ne? Have you ever turned to B since you've gotten here and gone, you did not say it's this cold?
No, she told me way back that no, when you get there, it's very cold and freezing. And apparently very soon we're going to get a snow. I was like, okay, I'm so excited about snow because I've never seen it like really in reality. So now I get to see it and touch it. I was like, okay, cold. We have winter at home, so I don't think it's bad or anything. Then I got here. Oh my God. I was like, what? And she's like, no, I told you it's going to be cold. But I'm like, no, not this much. And guess what she said? This is still warm up. It's still warming up. It's still warming up. It's going to be worse. I was like, no, I want to go back home. No, this is too much. No.
Yeah.
No, Elma.
Have
no.
You guys invested in some thermals, you know, to play in, like the long sleeve thermals? Because yeah. I bet you probably
I'm
never had to use
this. I'm
not
a big fan of those, actually. I just dog it out and play in the cold. It's only during training.
Front row, different breed, aren't
they? I lay it up quite a bit. I just can't. I feel
It's too much. I think it's heavy. It feels heavy. Yeah. No.
You wait till it's 2 degrees and we'll see what you say then.
No, we saw that in sales when we went to Manchester.
How cold?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
And we played at 7 p.m. Imagine. I was freezing.
So that now the two of you are flatmates, roommates. You're sharing with Danielle Lochner because obviously there has to be another South African in the mix.
Of course.
Yes.
The invasion.
We want more.
How have you made it home since you've arrived here, B? Because I'm guessing you are the one now tour guiding, showing everyone how everything works and where to get what.
Our best bet, to be honest, is Amazon. That's where we find and a couple of South African shops around. That's where we find some homely stuff.
How nice is it that you can order things and it's there tomorrow?
Yeah, very nice. I was like, listen, your order is
I wish I could take this efficiency and put it into our government more than anything.
You order something and it comes 3 weeks later. Oh, I'm like, and now I'm like, baby, no, this, I need to log out because I'm so obsessed. Yeah. I said this, I'm like, oh, let me just order it because I know tomorrow I'm gonna get it.
And the post.
Whoa. Just my like goodness. That. And this is Feb. This is levels.
Levels.
This is levels.
You see, it's not just me.
I love it.
The efficiency is amazing.
I was trying to find in the script where we brought in the post, but you've just managed to do it straight off the bat.
Right. Producer Shira will never, ever write anything about the Royal Mail ever again. Have you experienced Christmas posts here yet, though?
What do you mean Christmas post?
Well, it all slows down a bit because everyone goes mental and posts all their letters all at one time. So there's like a last post for Christmas.
Oh.
If you want things to arrive in time. Just keep an eye out for it.
Can I tell you a fun story? So last year, I managed to go to Wimbledon and sit on the hill. And there was a place there by Wimbledon where you could fill... Yes, my English is already gone. Where you could fill in a little...
Afghans girl.
A little postcard. And then you can post it somewhere for free. So I filled in the postcard and I posted it. This was in July. It got to my sister's house last week.
Oh my gosh. July?
Last week. So if you post something to South Africa, you must post it now for next
year.
Oh,
so you can tell me nothing about Christmas post, friend.
Wow. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I was just letting you know.
But the one thing we are really good at delivering is girls with talent who have just absolutely turned up.
Absolutely.
Harlequins has not had the best season so far, but the two of you seem absolutely unstoppable. So on the pitch... I mean, despite the cold, you have absolutely just been shining. Has that experience at least been fun and good and positive?
Yeah, for me it is because I'm still getting my rhythm because I've been injured. I had my wrist and then I was starting to get, oh my gosh, I don't want to speak about it, but okay. I was starting to get my rhythm back and then I got the red card, remember, playing Italy, and I was so traumatized. So since then, I haven't played. So now, at least my band was 3 weeks and then I had to do the tackling school. And then it decreases to 2 weeks. So at least I missed Samoa. And then the first game, Ealing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ealing. And then that Sale Sharks, it was my first game. Yes.
And you scored?
Yes. Yes, of course. The Bulldog is in the house. So, yeah, it was so exciting. And BB last week got the player of the match.
Yes.
She was phenomenal. She was crazy. Fuck.
Oh, thank you, man.
She was crazy.
Is the Bulldog a nickname?
It is from today onwards.
Oh, yeah. From right now.
Yeah. She's just chosen it.
We usually call it the Gautrain, but today it's Bulldog.
Yeah, because you wouldn't understand, like, in Ngoko Ngoko, like, Aster. You know, like legend.
Aster means steel.
Yeah.
Like steel. Is Afrikaans for steel. The other word obviously isn't Afrikaans.
Yeah, it's Xhosa. Ngoko Ngoko.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to try it.
Oh, you want me to try that?
Yeah.
I've got a cold.
I know.
That's not an excuse, guys.
Come on. Tell me again.
Ngoko loko.
Ngoko ngoko.
She's born for it.
Yeah.
Love that.
Now, so we think we must give her more lessons.
Yes. Yeah. We must also pick a name for her then at some point.
Yeah.
When we bring her into the fold.
Nobuhle.
Nobuhle.
Beauty. Beauty.
Oh, beautiful. Stop that.
She's in your brownie. Yeah, it's on the back of the brownie photo.
So, adjusting to the Harlequins atmosphere and the team and everything, have you guys just turned up full energy, like here to bring all of the... I want to say razzmatazz because this is what the South African sports minister's word used to be for the kind of showmanship that and the energy that South Africans bring into the room. You've just come in with that full tilt, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know what makes us unique as South Africans is exactly that. We possess an energy that you can't find anywhere else. So luckily for us, the Queen's environment is one that's conducive of that, where you can be yourself. You don't have to fit in. It's okay to stand out. It's okay to be different.
Mm.
And that sort of encourages, at least for me, it encourages me or us to be ourselves. Just play lekker rugby, have a good hair, just go about your rugby in a very, you know, sort of energetic and positive way. And then that allows us to sort of transfer that onto the pitch in the way that we play and so forth.
And the lekker thing about it, the girls are so interested to know Amagwiju, that like the singing and all
Rachel,
the deal.
Rachel
is obsessed, and Shona every day. When are we learning? I'm like, guys, we need to find time and then we can sit down and teach you properly. But they're so interested in knowing it. That makes me happy. That makes me happy because there's someone that wants to learn your language. There's someone wants to know about your culture. See, so yeah, the girls are so excited, man. I think we're gonna have a lekker season. Like, I'm so excited. I'm getting goosebumps.
I love that. Culturally, what's the one thing that you want to be able to bring over and like teach the girls? Would it be the singing? Would it be those good
a bit
vibes
of rhythm?
And the energy? Yeah, with the rhythm.
Can we teach? Can people learn rhythm? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think it's either you have it or you don't.
Asking,
and it's one thing that
ever.
People don't have. Yeah, I'm sorry to say that.
You're next to the beat or but, you're not.
Like, yeah, but we'll try our best to make you, you know.
Oh, we've got rhythm. Don't worry about us. I'm on about the Queen's girls.
Okay.
We'll dance later.
I would like to see that rhythm after the big game.
Yes.
On the pitch there. When they start singing there.
You must join.
Mo?
Agreed.
Then I'm going to want to see a bit of a...
Don't worry, we'll pull it over.
Bit of a move.
Come this side.
Okay.
It won't be with the same intensity or... smoothness that you guys do, but I'm a trier,
that's the effort that
that's good enough.
Good
that's good enough.
Did you see Rona when the GB girls got to Cape Town? They arrived at the hotel. I think all the hotel staff were dancing and welcoming them. And Rona was the only GB girl giving it large, but she was
literally
enjoying herself.
Down, like,
so good.
I love the receptionist at that waterfront hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see girl there so in the pencil skirt? I was like, she's just a receptionist by day, but she's there with the pencil skirt breaking it down when the visitors come in.
That's us, man.
Full welcome energy.
Yeah.
But Rona, big props
to
her for stepping up and going, do you know what? I'll dance off with you. Let me tango. Come, let's have this. In terms of the energy back home that you guys have left behind, had you already left by the time the trophy tour took place, or did you see the trophy tour?
We got about a couple of days of it, actually. When the Cape Town leg started, that's when we left.
Yeah. But I saw them at the airport.
You saw them?
The airport was madness, actually.
It
on
was
the day,
mad.
Like, it was super
literally
packed.
Literally, I couldn't even get in because it was full and traffic closed the whole roads. I was like, I'm going to be late from my flight. I'm going to miss my flight.
And the
it
funny thing
crazy.
Is, like, it was packed next to the entrance. Mm. And I rocked up there with my Springbok bags and stuff. And they thought that I was one of... And they started clapping and going, ah! I was like, actually...
They follow you and want to take pictures.
They're like, come here.
Yeah. And are then, you support of the Springbok?
Because they see the bags and stuff. They don't even know who you are. And they're like...
And then you say, yes, you must watch
us like,
too.
Actually, it says women here. Yes, do clap.
The queens.
But you guys got a message of good luck as well during the tournament from
Sia and Jock.
Do you know what was really funny? So our producer Shira sent me a screen grab. Her partner had seen that video from Jock and Sia. Now, Babal was met my husband.
Okay.
He basically looks like Jock.
Oh my gosh.
Bald white.
That is true.
So Shira's partner said, oh, I watched this whole video thinking how nice of Alma's husband to be such good friends with Sia.
Oh my word.
So I sent it to him and I said, Jen thinks you look like Jock, me know that. But it wasn't Richard standing next to Sia. But it's nice that you guys that got so that lovely. Level of acknowledgement and support. And overtly using that moment that the boys had and the kind of platform that they enjoyed and the enthusiasm that people felt for rugby. Did you feel it washing over a little bit in your direction?
Yeah, I must say actually that Sia's been quite a great supporter of ours. It wasn't the first time that they've sent us a message of support. And he actually knows us by name, you know, which is great. We're not just some team. that he supports. He knows where Seza is. Yeah. He knows who from Babalwa is, you know. And so it's been really amazing that you know, a couple of the players recognize, like, obviously Beast is a good friend of mine who's always supported women's rugby and things like that. So it's good to have that type of a support. As you know, it can never be enough.
Yeah.
You know, the more of it we get, the better it is for everybody, actually, not just for women's rugby, South African women's rugby.
When I saw, we haven't actually spoken about this, so I haven't even asked Skazzy and Mo about this yet, but I saw the Portugal captain, Thomas Appleton, who everyone loved during the Men's World Cup because, I mean, I don't mind supporting beautiful rugby players. He is a beautiful man. I tweeted about it. I was like, when can I go to the dentist? And then he finished up at the Rugby World Cup and he went back to his job as a dentist. And we all went, wow, Portuguese rugby, such good hands, great people, just, you know. And then he appeared in a podcast and he said that he wouldn't want his daughter to play rugby. And there was this whole outcry. I actually want to read the line. He said he wouldn't want his daughter to play rugby because of the injuries you can get and because it's not quite right and it's not particularly attractive. And then he goes on to say there are excellent women's rugby players, but I mean, the damage had been done and open letters have been written. What stood out for me in that experience was two things. Firstly, he's not a very good businessman, because if you want more people to spend money on rugby in Portugal, then more is more, my friend. So whether it's girls playing rugby or men's playing rugby, if your sport is fighting for space, telling people to, like, not play, not half of the population to not play, is not the way to go about this, firstly. But secondly, there is still such a large amount of work around this to be done in South Africa. Because in South Africa, women's rugby just isn't as prominent yet as and as widely accepted as I think it is in the UK. And so how we have conversations about things like what he said is important, because you don't want those uncles who believe that anyway to now just feel like, oh, well, here's a spokesperson and it makes it okay to say this. But at the same time, you want to bring them in. You want to create a space where they feel like, oh, I can go and watch it. You know, the Daisies are winning, so let me also be one of their fans.
Yeah. True.
What did you feel when you saw that, B?
It for me, it was a reflection of how far we've come as women in general and how much more we can still do if there are people in specifically in that type of a position are able to still think that way. You know, I would have thought that, you know, he would use his platforms to actually do the complete opposite, to advocate for it, because he's experienced what it's like to be in the rugby space. He's experienced the positives of it. He's experienced the greatness of being in that space. Why wouldn't you want anybody else to experience that? You know, least of all your daughter. So for me, it was just, I didn't want to be too offended by it, but I definitely felt some type of way. I was like, damn it, man. We've worked so hard. We know that we yet to work even more, but you're just dragging us back another 10 years just by your utterances, you know. Support is not just pitching up at games or posting about it. It's in what you say and how you say the things that you say about women's sport. So honestly, I just really hope that he's sort of come around. He sees different, now that perhaps he's gotten feedback from different people and open letters, to just sort of open up his mind and his eyes to the awesomeness of women's rugby and why he should not just let his daughter play, but understand that women can play. Girls want to play. It's not about somebody else giving us the permission. We want to do this. Girls really do want to play, and they can, you know.
I think I'd also challenge, have you ever watched women's rugby? Like, have you ever actually been out, in the space or seen it live or engaged in any aspect of women's rugby to have an opinion like that? I feel like it's so hard to have an opinion like that if you haven't even seen it. And I'd challenge that if he has seen it, he wouldn't have an opinion like that. So where has that come from, you know?
And that's the thing that makes me really excited about where the Seven Series is now. Yes, and in South Africa, we love the sevens. Like, yeah. I feel like no one understands how big it is.
It's going to be fully packed in the stadium. Oh, my goodness.
The sevens circuit has moved to the point now where it's men's game, women's game, men's game, women's game, men's game, women's game. And there is parity across the board there. And it shows you that it can be done, and it shows you that it can be done on an international level, and it shows you the value that it adds there.
I think it just shows you it's not that hard. Do you know what I mean? It's not that hard to do that, to have an app where they're both there, to have concurrent games where it's one the other, or there's two pitches, therefore everyone plays on two pitches, not the men on the big one and the women on the small one. Not the small one, no stadium, whatever. One of the frustrating things for me is I think as a Portuguese player will have struggled to showcase rugby himself and will have felt in a minority in many ways in his country and also in the global world of rugby. So therefore should in some small way have an understanding of what he's saying and how that would affect somebody else in that space.
And that's why I have so much respect for you guys and Aseza for your hesitation to come play here with us in English for an hour is everything you say does carry weight. Mm. And the impact that you can have and the ripples that could come off almost any utterance you make. There is a responsibility and there is an amount of power that sits in that. So when you do have the opportunity and someone puts a microphone in front of your face, there is work there that you can do and there is an advance there that you can gain. Mm. But it's about how you use it and how to smartly apply it. I love that you've thought about this as much as you have, Bea. But Aseza, it must be really fun for you guys as players to have experienced people and orators like the likes of Babalwa.
Yeah, the famous girl.
You know, when she steps in front of that camera, she's going there with a message.
Yeah, obviously. This is our spokesperson. I always say to her, you know, I don't speak much and, you know, I hate eyes. But okay, you're always there. Like, she is perfect when it comes to interviews and all that. She's the spokesperson, and whatever comes out of that mouth, it's, you know, it's tangible. Like, you can see it's coming from a right heart, a right mind. Yeah. I'm just can't wait to play next to you, like Rachel and Shauna Brown. You know, I've been dreaming to come here to play overseas, even if it's just one season, just to have that experience, how it is and all that. And I won't lie, it's hectic. It's not the same as at home. It's another level. It's different. Everything, it's different. You have to learn everything, and everything is in detail. So yeah, I can't wait for that experience that I'm going to gain here and take it back home.
What are some of the biggest differences in terms of like a weekly setup or in terms of like the actual rugby bit?
The intensity playing with most like experienced players, which is we don't have at home. We're still getting there, but we do have, but they're few. But here you have a lot like best players that plays in England, you guys. So yeah, I get to have them on my team, not play against them, on my team. You know what I mean?
And the professionalism with which they come to the party consistently just makes you go, okay, well, we're here now. Then we might as well, you know, do this. It's not for fun.
Yeah.
This is what we do professionally.
Work. Yeah, it's work. Yeah.
And it's a very different perspective to a lot of the girls that we speak to, because you're going, if I'm just here for one season, every game is big. Mm. If I'm just here for one season, every training is important.
Yes.
If I'm just here for one season, this is the November that I was going to have here, and it's done now. We're into December. Once this big game is done, I don't know if I'm playing another one. So this is
every
the
game
moment.
Counts. Yes. Yes, every game counts. And you know what? From at home, we are not treated the same, if I can put it the same. Yeah, boys and girls, same facilities, same gym, but it's very professional. We are professional at home, but not really professional. We're still getting there. We still need more sponsors and more, you know, money and all that. But still, this is like awesome. This is awesome.
Same kit as well.
Yeah.
Can we talk about
same kit with your name at the back of the shirt? Well, I think the exciting part is that South African rugby, women's rugby in particular, is growing so quickly. Ultimately, there are steps and building blocks that needs to, or that are being slowly but steadily being put in place for us to be able to sort of bridge the gap, not just between men and women's rugby, but between South African rugby and rugby in other spaces of the world, like your England, your New Zealand, and things like that. So on a larger scale, women's rugby is really exciting, especially since we had the WXV, where we had the opportunity to host the world. And you actually get to see that, hey, look, we're actually not as far behind as we think. You know, there's so much work to be done, of course. Mm. But Jesus, we've come so far.
Because you've obviously been out here previously, like in the country, do you find that you take back ideas and that's like looked at and receptive in the Springbok culture? Or is it something that you're just like you're learning here, but you're not quite implementing that when you go back home?
I think I have sort of implemented it in little bits and pieces, and only insofar as it is acceptable in that system and setup, because it's great to learn things, but the application of it needs to align with what is being done in the Springbok women's system. So I've learned a couple of tricks of the trade, especially as a tight head prop, which I tried to share. Some caught on, some didn't, but I, for one, have sort of utilized it.
Yes, here is Chairperson Babalwa. She has just given that's the most diplomatic answer I've heard anyone give in a long time.
But apart from that, the best part is that we have Lynn Cantwell.
Yeah.
Lynn has played this side. She's done everything there is to do in women's rugby. It all flows with a level of respect and with her guidance as well, where I can sort of bounce off ideas on her and be like, how about we try this or that? You know what I mean?
What is your relationship like with Lynn?
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. I think Lynn Cantwell is the best thing to ever happen to women's rugby in South Africa. She knows what it's like to be a woman in the rugby space, but also an actual athlete. You know, she's, like I said, she's done it, and she has a great understanding systemically of where we are and what we need. Because since she came along, we got our first group of contracted players. You know, we started playing much more rugby than ever before. So, of course, I attribute those milestones to her and her expertise and what she has then came into the system with.
The other thing that's interesting about the leadership you have in South Africa is you've got Louis Kuhn as your coach now. Full disclosure, Louis and I come from the same town. And he's been coaching men's rugby for a long time. After being a player himself. He's been around the block quite a bit, and now he's involved with the women's program. Now, obviously, you're going to say he's a great coach and a lovely human being because he's your coach. Yes.
No, you're not. He's a good man.
Talk to me about your red card and that process. How supported were you?
I don't want to lie. It was traumatizing. I was traumatized. Literally, I was crying the whole week. But my management and my teammates were there for me, even though I had to leave the camp. But still, they were still there checking up on me, and also...
We missed you when you left, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Because I'm a vibe, actually. They're using me.
I couldn't tell.
Oh, the little bulldogs coming out.
Yeah. But yeah, they were there for me from the get-go. Lynn has been there with me, with my hearings and all that. But yeah, it's been traumatizing. I don't want to lie, but... I felt so bad for the girl. I didn't do it intentionally. It was a mistake, but still, I cried my heart out. And I went and looked for her, and I gave her a hug afterwards. I was like, sorry, it was not like intentionally. It was a mistake. But then the letting the team down, playing with 13 players, it's never good. So, no.
Talk to me about the World Cup. Yes, everyone, I don't know if it was just me talking about Aziza the whole time, but I felt like you were one of the most spoken about players at that World Cup, because everyone went, where did this girl come from? You turned up. I think I still have footage of you guys. We had an embedded camera up in your camp, and you guys, when you were taking your photos and your kit, was it you standing there whipping your hair around?
Probably.
It most probably was.
I am that clown.
She's a vibe after all. She's a vibe.
You were the vibe. You had box braids, right?
Yeah, I had.
And you were literally standing there like head banging while the photos were being taken. And you could just see the energy was absolutely everywhere. What was that Rugby World Cup experience like for you?
It was so exciting because it was my first experience, first World Cup. So I wasn't like expecting so much, or I was just going there because I love rugby and I just want to enjoy myself on a new country. I've never been to New Zealand, and now I've got an opportunity to go and play in New Zealand. So I was like, nah, let me just go out there, enjoy myself. And I was coming back from injury, I think, because I had tibial plateau. So I was like, this is a great opportunity for me to show my talent, because they told me I was never going to play again because it was a big injury apparently. But here I am. So I went to World Cup. I was like, God, please let me just do my best. You gave me the talent. Now let me just showcase it. And I was just being myself. I didn't know I'm going to be a star. Everyone was talking about me. I was just being a Caesar. Like, seriously, it's God and being myself. I can't literally say it's because of this and that. No, and my hard work. Because I worked so hard to get back. It was not easy, but I worked. I told myself, I'm going back and I'm going to return to the team. Because now you can't just say, because I was in the system and then I got injured and apparently they're going to automatically take me back. No, you have to work for it to get back, because there are people, it's not your position. Number 8 is not written as Azayele. Yes, it is written sometimes as Azayele 8, but then it's not permanent. There are people that are fighting to get there. They want to be a Cesarelli. So you have to fight back to get your spot back. So it was just me and God and my hard work. I don't want to lie.
I love that. What do you remember of the South Africa games, Gazzy?
If I'm honest, I'm grateful that I wasn't playing in it. In the end, I was meant to be playing and then I got pulled because my ankle was being old. But yeah, I know. But no, I just remember obviously previewing you guys and then also talking to the girls post game and how basically battered they were. You know, scoreline, I think, irrelevant in terms of the feeling that they had post that game because of how physical it was, what a different challenge you guys posed. I really enjoy playing nations. You don't get to play that often. I think back in the day, talk about Rachel Burford, back in the day, we used to play you guys quite a bit, 08, 09, 10 era, but we don't play you guys that often anymore. So just to be able to play a different nation, I think it was Zinae Jordan's last game as well when we played you guys. So just to be able to see the celebrations that she had, to be able to go up to her afterwards and say, because we've played against each other for a long, long time. Yeah. And just to be able to share in some of those moments was pretty cool.
I think this is a really important detail that a lot of people who've just come into the fold in the last 2 years might have completely missed off. So Zinae Jordan is a good example of a player who's been there.
Yeah.
Oh. Her and Nolisindiso or Cindy Boy played against England in 2013. They went from once losing 18-17 to England. For 4 years, South African rugby voluntarily quit playing women's tests from 2014 to 2018, which now, in hindsight, you just have to sometimes wonder how much further along everything would have been if that gap in the middle there wasn't there. But having someone like Zinae there, and Zinae has been the players' representative in the players' governing body in South Africa throughout. She's been so vocal, like at many of those My Players events that I was at, because I was working for the players' organizations, she was often the only female representative in the room going, "Hey,
we are here
also." Yeah. It must have been a great experience having someone like Zinae and having someone like Cindy Boy there, because they have seen all of this and come full circle with it.
It's actually amazing that Zinae is now a coach. She's always with us in camp and things like that, and it feels weird. Initially, it felt weird because I played with her as well. I have massive respect for her. And now to have her on the other side, you know, was a bit weird. But I was also really proud of the fact that we were able to produce such a quality person, you know, such a quality rugby player, someone who's committed the best years of her life to the game. At times, or at a time where it wasn't even popular to do so, it wasn't even worth it, dare I say, but she stuck it out. And now, if we're being honest, we are enjoying, you know, the fruits of her labor. and the others like herself, even Cindy Poor, even though she's still active, but she too was part of, you know, the group of women who paved the way for us, including Omandisa, Williams, and the women of her generation. So it's really great to see that evolution, you know, to still have her as a well to drink from of knowledge, of experience, because you can't coach experience, unfortunately. You can't buy it anyway. You know, it's all about the passage of time. And I really, really enjoy having both of them actually in our fold, you know, imparting their knowledge still, and somewhat passing the baton onto the next generation, perhaps not ours because we're just as old, but, you know, to young Springbok women coming up as well.
It's so beautiful. And it's such an important comparative experience, mm-hmm. because Santa's done the same and we've spoken to her and she's moved into this coaching position. And there's a whole program underway at the moment to try and get players to help bridge that gap from playing and having that firsthand athlete experience into coaching roles, which I love because that consistency and the carry on of the IP, but also the experience and the understanding of what that is like firsthand is crucial. I think the other thing that people in the Northern Hemisphere, and we literally speak to players and coaches week in and week out on this project about the finances of women's rugby and how people make ends meet and the lengths they go through and the sacrifices they make. And I know, Aseza, that you are a breadwinner. So similar to our conversations with Babalwa previously as well, because you've also got your sister back home, there is such a big responsibility on you. Because everyone in your family and everyone in your community looks to Blomi and goes, she's playing for the Springboks, so she must be, you know, she must be on that Siakulisi vibe.
Yeah, and I'm not even near to I'm not even near to Siakulisi, but yeah, I try my best. Mm. The little that I have or that I work for, I try my best to feed everyone and make everyone happy. Mm. And I also have to take care of myself as well in the mix. So it's difficult, but at the same time, I'm enjoying it because it's been a while. I've been matured since I was still young. So it's literally in my blood now. So I know that's my responsibility. I need to do this and that and that. Yeah, I'm like a mother.
You are.
Yeah.
But coming here is at the same time an opportunity and a sacrifice.
Yeah, it is.
In this cost of living crisis, it's expensive to live in England.
It is. I'm still converting. When I go and buy stuff, I'm like, oh, how much is, oh, flip. Yeah. It was going to be this much at home and now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's life that I chose. Mm. And also, they won't give me the experience that I'm going to get here. And also, I'm doing it for them because I'm going to save when I'm here. Even though it's difficult, but still, I'll try my best because I always do.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that's a real decision, B. You deciding to come back to Harlequins. I mean, we've spoken about this at such length previously. You have a law degree and, you know, you could go on with your life, but you still feel that there is work here that needs to be done and there is a benefit to coming here and seeing the Lacho name on the back of a shirt.
Yeah, it's a conscious decision that I took a long time ago. In that I wanted to pursue something greater than just me because I saw the impact of it, you know, especially when I looked at my little sister and I could see what her seeing me win does. I mean, I think that for me, making that decision to say, look, I'm going to come back to the Harlequins. I'm going to stay in rugby. I'm going to do the very best that I can in rugby was dare I say, an act of defiance on my part to say that you can call me whatever you want. I'm here, you know. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I have a role to play within the women's rugby space anywhere in the world. And, you know, I'm not prepared to shy away from that because I understand the ramifications that it has at home with those closest to me. But more than anything, my little sister, I wanted to see what success can look like. I wanted to see what being herself can lead to. Honestly, just wanted her to see beyond her current circumstances. You know, I wanted to see that there's something far better and greater in the world than just Khayelitsha, you know.
I'm getting completely distracted. B, you are dropping pearls here, but all I can hear is the bells,
on
the jingle bells.
On my special antlers with yeah, jingle sorry. Bells on them. Okay, I'm gonna pop these
I
over here.
I love
here.
The vibes, but just a little less of them.
You're so inspirational when you talk, and obviously I've listened to it previously. I've seen interviews you've done.
Thank you.
When you go back home, do people in South Africa, like, are you well known? Are you someone that you're inspiring this next generation, or is it still in its infancy that you're only like kind of after the women's rugby population coming up through? Is she up there?
She is famous. That's why I call her famous girl. She is famous.
She is.
Well, I wasn't going to admit that. I think there's like a niche, you know, people who don't follow sport, let alone women's rugby, won't necessarily know who I am. But I think within the rugby space, it's fair to say that I've sort of become synonymous with South African women's rugby.
Do you enjoy that privilege?
It is a great privilege. I think whether I enjoy it or not is a different question, because sometimes it's your responsibility, you know. Sometimes I enjoy it, yes. Sometimes I'm a little bit frustrated because I'd be like, hey, women's rugby. And, you know, sometimes the microphone doesn't get handed to you. And that's fine. It happens. But for the most part, I do enjoy it. But sometimes I do get frustrated in that the acknowledgement, not for me, but for women's rugby, the acknowledgement might not be there, especially in events and things that where you would expect it to be there. It's just men's rugby. But yeah, generally, I try to be that first. I will raise my hand for just about anything and just throw in women's rugby there somewhere. Then all of a sudden, the conversation changes, you know, towards that because I had said something, you know what I mean?
What does it mean to... You're originally from Port Elizabeth, not Port Elizabeth anymore, Gqeberha.
Gqeberha, yeah.
Gqeberha. But you grew up in Hermanus, which is... Where did you grow up?
In Port Elizabeth.
In Port Elizabeth.
Yeah, I just moved 3 years back to Hermanus.
Okay, so for those who don't know, in South Africa, we're still busy fixing some things.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but we're still busy. So places are still going back to names. There is also a place called East London. A
Can
whole
you believe
city.
It?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's wild. But let's talk about the place that Siyakhulisi has put on the map and the impact that visibility and prominence and the association with the opportunity that you can be from the township. You can be from absolutely anywhere. And there is a highway there for boys that exists. The importance that you feel, Aseza, in how you carry yourself and how that puts up a signpost for girls who come. You're from KwaZakhele?
Yes, KwaZakhele, yes.
And people here have no idea what that means.
Yeah,
because you and I grew up in different universes. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't have been more different if we tried.
Yeah, I think Sia like made a really good difference in Port Elizabeth, Gqeberha, because now people have jobs because of him, because he got that opportunity and he was not stingy about it. He shared it with the community that he grew up in. So I think I'm probably almost the same, because I love community, I love people, I love to help where I can. So I think they're looking up on me as well, because everyone knows me in Gqeberha as well, but I'm not famous just like Sia. But we're getting there. They have work because of Sia. The rugby is growing and we've got foundations that work with Sia. It's a lot that is going on in Gqeberha. There are more opportunities that Sia created because he was not stingy about opportunities. Mm. And I think that is, we are grateful. And that is, I think it's special. It's very special because some other people, when you go to places or well known, you tend to forget about your home or your where you come from. Mm. But he has not at all, not a single. He loves his people like very much. So I think it's very inspiring, to look up on Sia.
Mm. Why is it that you started playing rugby, and at what point? Because you played netball, right?
Yes, I used to play netball because I was working. So my work schedule and netball was clutching.
What job were you doing?
I was on retail, 7 to 7.
Yes.
And then on weekends, it's busy. And also on weekends, we play.
In what shop? What kind of shop?
ShopRite.
So she worked at Tesco?
Yeah.
From 7 to 7?
Yes.
And netball... And that schedule
couldn't work at all. And then I was just going to this stadium, Denkaka, where Sia used to play. And his team and my team are neighbors, like Kwaru and Bombers. Wow. Yeah. So I used to go there just to keep fit because at school I was doing athletics and netball. So I was that active girl. So I didn't want to lose my, you know,
figure.
Yes, and December vibe, body vibes. So I was keeping fit. And then boom, that coach said, no, you can play rugby. I'm like, not me. You're just going to train with us. We're doing fitness. And I was like, love it. Because I love fitness. I was just running.
You were like, boot camp. Sign me up.
So it's fine. As long as I'm not going to play rugby, just fitness. And I was like, okay, cool. And then here I played. I saw myself passing a ball and I'm like, what the heck? I said, I'm just going to, I was going to do fitness, not rugby. And then since from there, Emma, I fell in love with it. Since from there.
How old were you?
I was 2021, somewhere there. I'm not sure. 2014, I think I was 21, 22.
Yeah, we're the same age. So in 2014, you may have been 21. Yeah.
What position did you play in netball? Because when I used to play netball, you used to get called up for contact all the time. I'm not a particularly physical rugby player. You're an incredibly physical rugby player. So you must have got called for contact all the time. Yeah,
I was playing goalkeeper and defense.
And then the arc of your life at that stage. I mean, the world you were living in and the potential, the chance of going to New Zealand must have felt like...
No, I was never dreaming about that. I've never even watched rugby. It was still playing, you know, on SABC 2. I would literally change it. If it's playing, I'll change it because I don't want to watch it. I just want to watch netball. And I was this girl now playing rugby. Suddenly, I was like, okay. The first rugby game was in Middelburg. Do you know Middelburg? Where Zine comes from?
Wow.
Yes.
Guys, Middelburg is like, think about the Australian outback, but they're in the middle of Australia where no one goes or lives.
Yeah.
Nothing grows higher than a foot off the ground. It's dry.
Dry, wow. Very dry and hot. So it was my first game and I scored 4 tries.
Yeah.
And remember, that was
the vibey bulldog.
And you know what? They just taught me how to pass. You don't pass forward.
That's all you need.
You pass behind. That's it. And then listen here. I was going to just watch my team playing and just know how they play. Not me playing.
You were just going to window shop.
Yes, just to support my girls. Yay, I'm there. I'm training with these girls. You say they're winning. I'm playing with them. And your coach is like, blow me, come. I'm like, hi, bo. What? Come, you're going to play. I'm like, coach, I don't have boots. I didn't bring boots. We have boots for you. I'm like, this dude, what a trap. What a trap. I was like, okay, what must I do? I started panicking now. What am I going to do? Relax, Blomi. Like, okay, cool. You take a ball, you go run straight and put it under the poles. I'm like, that's it? I'm like, yeah, that's it. You don't pass or anyone if you get a ball, go straight. And I did exactly just that.
4 tries.
Go. Gone. 4 tries. And I was the best player of the tournament.
Of course you were.
Of the tournament. First game. In Middelburg, and we won the tournament, and I was the best player of the tournament.
How long is the bus ride back from Middelburg to Preberga?
4 to 5 hours.
And was that the best bus ride?
It was the best. And then in that bus, the seventh coach was in there. So he was like, can you please come on Monday at 6 o'clock at Denkaka Stadium to train? I'm like, I'll look at my schedule because I'm working. Normally, I'll work until 7. So he said, okay, cool. Give me your number and then text me if you can come or not. Luckily, I asked my supervisor at the market. I went there. Yo, those girls were running and this is what I want. You know, I'm a netball girl and I love being active, speed. I was like, oh, I'm loving this.
You are
I'm
super
loving
fast,
it.
I must say.
I didn't know when we play, we're going to be 7 in the field. And this field is huge. So I was like, okay, thank goodness. This is not for me. And I'm not going to come back again. So thank you. Bye. I didn't come back. The whole week, I didn't come back. And the next, the coach went to Shabal again, Namhla Siyolo. It's like, please, I really want this girl. And I'm ignoring him now. He calls me, I don't pick up.
Just ghosting.
No, no. And then Namhla's like, please, Blomi, please attend, get a chance and attend. Please, my child. I was like, okay, but I don't want to play sevens. I just started 15s now. Why do you want me to play this thing? I don't want to play this thing. It's like, no, go. You're going to get colors, provincial colors. And I didn't know it mattered that much to rugby as well. Cause I know in netball, it does matter if you play for your province. Hey, I went and then I met the team. We went to play in Saldanha Bay.
Yeah.
You know, Saldanha in Cape Town. It's beautiful as well. But yeah, we went to play there. I scored. My first, I don't know.
No, man.
I scored on the 5 meter line. I promise you. Everyone laughed. And you know what? This coach told me, when you go, you dive. Okay. Oh. I was like, no, coach, take me out, please. So my rugby colors started in sevens. Provincially.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Before I even go to 15s.
And after both of those experiences, were you then like, yes, I want to play the sport? Or were you still like, oh, no, no, no?
You know what? I was like, no, I want to play. Because, you know, in netball, you have to pay for everything. And now, kit and everything, it's for free. I'm like, whoa, am I getting this? How much must I pay? And I said, no, you're not paying anything. Transport, we're going to Middleburg. You don't pay nix. You're going to Saldanha Bay, you play and you get match fee, you get paid. I was like, oh, is that so? Okay, nice. This is nice. They just want your body. That's it. Nothing more. Nothing more. Not your mind. You don't have to pay for backpack. Nothing. I was like, nah, this is going to change my life. And I've never been to Saldanha. I've never been to Middleburg. This is like great opportunities. I can travel. I was like, okay, Let me just focus on this. Maybe it's going to take me far. Mm. I don't know, but let me just focus for now. I was like, I'm going to do this.
You were the girl. Yeah. You were excited about going to Middleburg.
Yes, because I've never been there. I've never been there. That's why. Don't cry. Please, you're going to make me cry. I'm a crying baby. She knows. She knows. I was so excited because, oh no.
Sorry.
Okay, Blom. And I've never been there. No one took me there. You know, I've been around, just around PE. Normal, but traveling now, going to Middleburg, not to have to pay, or neither my parents took me there. You know, traveling, it was the most, like, it was special. It was very special. And then I get to see the other world that is more than Middleburg that I was so excited for. I was like, is this my, like, I don't know how to put it. Is it my breakthrough or what? So I was like, that's all. I didn't know whether to leave my work or stay. But how are they going to eat at home if I leave my work? Because they're also depending on me. So let me just see how it goes. But I don't even regret the decision that I made that day, that I'm going to stick to rugby. I love it. I'm going to stick to it. And now I'm here sitting with famous girls in Europe.
Do you sometimes walk around England and go, how am I even this person now?
You know, I talk to myself every day in the mirror. You think I'm crazy. I'm like, hi, pretty girl. How are you? You've got beautiful teeth. You are blessed and you've got a good heart. Stay as you are. Never change. Look at God. You've been praying for this and God has answered your prayers. You are here where you want to be. It feels weird as if I've never spoke to God and said, please, Lord, one day take me. I want to play for this and that. I want a house. I want a car. I named things that I want from God. And he's been blessing me and answering my questions. Like, look at me now. I've never thought I would be here, sitting here in England. Besides traveling with the Springbok, going there for 2 weeks, I'm privileged for 2 weeks. But now it's the whole season. I'm gonna be here the whole season. I'm gonna make what's up war. Oh,
Ball of water.
What is it? What ball?
Imagine if you didn't take those boots and if you said, no, I'm not playing.
Oh my goodness, I don't know.
How different.
It was written in the stars.
Yeah. It was. It was written in the stars. God spoke to me. He said, no, my child, take them. Wear them. You've got this. And there, I scored 4 tries. I was the player of the tournament. First rugby, club rugby, club rugby. It was amazing, man.
We keep talking about this and I just realized they don't know what Bloemy means. Why is your nickname Bloemy? Bloemy is a character in an Afrikaans kids show. He's a little gnome. The word literally means little flower.
Yeah. A beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful little flower.
Get it right, Emma.
Yeah. So it's like, this is a Bloemy over here. This little sporty brownie behind me.
You know it.
When did you get the nickname Bloemy?
I got it from my netball coach because she couldn't pronounce my name right. She kept on missing it, not Azeze, or she would just say Azeze. And then she said to me, come here, please. I know I'm struggling with your name. Can I please give you a beautiful name? Because you are beautiful. You're such a great human being. You have a beautiful smile and you're beautiful too. Can I call you Bloemy? I was like, what do you mean? The Bloemy means beautiful flower and you are my flower. You are beautiful. I'm like, oh, come on, coach. It's okay. Even if you don't call me Azeze anymore, Bloemy will do. So yeah, I got it from my netball coach.
And you're owning it.
Oh, everyone is Bloemy. Blow me. But then at Hal Queen's, the girls asked me, which one do you prefer? I'm like, both. Whatever you're comfortable in, if it's Bloemy or it's Azeze, doesn't matter. I love them both.
We have such an interesting relationship with names in South Africa. You know, Nelson Mandela's name wasn't Nelson either.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Nelson Mandela was called Nelson by a teacher. His real name is Rolly Hlahla.
Rolly Hlahla.
Rolly
Hlahla. Yeah.
Yeah. A teacher, literally. Same thing. But there is this thing cuts both ways because in your case, it was a positive experience. I don't think it's always positive. Sometimes it's just I don't have enough respect to try and put in the effort, which is the dark side of this. When you hear people like Azeze talking about that journey and how far they've come, there are so many stories like this in your team. How much conversation is there at Harlequins about that kind of origin story? And how much of it do you feel like you want to share with people? Or is this an unusual occurrence?
Well, I have to be honest. I own my story because it's me. It's never going to change. I'm not ashamed of it at all. So if and when I get the opportunity to share a bit of myself, I always start from the beginning. It always starts at home. It literally starts at the beginning. And my beginning is not as glamorous. And I truly can't shy away from that. So when we do get an opportunity to share with, I remember last season I had an opportunity to create like a slideshow type of a thing where I would talk about myself and who I am. And, you know, I just thought about it a bit and I told myself that, look, I don't have to tailor make my story. It's my story. It's my truth. I walk in it every single day. Let me just tell it. And I could see that the girls were taken aback, you know, because it was just so such a stark contrast to what they know and what they're accustomed to and what they see on a daily. But honestly, whenever I get the opportunity to tell my story, I'll always do that with a full heart because, you know, it's who I am. And it's really so inspiring to hear Azeze's story, as well. And perhaps especially in the Springbok women's team, there are so many more of similar stories that are similar to that of Siya Kolisi, to that of Makazole Mapimpi, because both unfortunately and fortunately for African children, our stories always start with adversity. But it needn't end like that. You know, it can start with adversity, but it ends in a victory. It ends in a triumph. It ends with, you know, playing for the Harlequins. It ends with, or at least continues with, being one of the best number eights in the world at a World Cup. That is the type of trajectory that it can take. And I'm truly inspired by Azeze's story. And I'm so happy that she's here. I'm so happy that I get to call her my friend. And I'm so happy that I can get to lean on someone like her and feed off her energy, because we are completely different individuals. She's the vibe. And I'm much more, you know, reserved and presidential in a way, and regal, you know. So we
can... That's like me and Mo.
It is actually
with the English
weirdly
version.
Similar.
Yeah.
Which me too.
I was about to ask.
I don't think Scazzy is the vibe. Yeah.
Blow me next to Blow
Anti-vibe
me.
Anti-vibe over there.
Yeah. Oh, the two of you are definitely the vibe. The accelerant, as we sometimes call her. She's the energy. Oh. We've spoken about this before. When we went to go film at Babalwa's parents' house in Khayelitsha, that was the time we were also unfortunately robbed. I said to B, can you grab a rugby ball? We want to get some shots of you just throwing the ball in the air, you know, like having it like slow-mos, really nice hero shots of her walking with the ball down the street. And you've all done this. She comes out with a ball. Hi, guys. This ball, it's been around. This ball has seen some things, eh? This ball has been to places and it's had a hard life. She says to me, I don't have a nice ball because the kids in the neighborhood here know that I play. And they come and ask me for a ball. And then I just give them my balls. So I end up with the balls that not even they want. And that was the only ball we had.
And that was the one that made its way back. Because some I don't get back at all. And when they do bring it back, it's so ragged. I'm like, no, you go keep it. Like you can have. I remember there was this one. It was literally brand new. I gave it to them. I'm not complaining though. I loved it. I gave it to them. It still had grip and everything. They brought it back 2 days later. It was smooth as an egg.
Oh,
I'm like, where do you play this ball? Why does it look like
what did you do?
And they were just happy to have it. I was like, no, let's go do some passing in the street. And I'd literally play with them. And they loved it. And they're like, we want to be on your team. I'm like, no, but we still need to have even numbers. I actually become emotional when I think of those days.
It's lovely to see the kids that look up on you, you know, going. I don't know if it's me or what. I don't know how to feel when you get so much, you know.
Attention.
Yeah. It's like, no, there's something wrong that I'm doing. No. How must I behave? How? I feel excited, but still at the same time, I want to be calm. And I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if it's me or do you feel like that? How do you feel?
They look up to you because of you, though. So yeah. That's exactly what you have to be. Nothing more
or less. Yeah, to Skaz's point as well, I think the way that you inspire and the way that people follow you and love you is your authentic self. And I think, like, you see it in you guys. So never change. Never think you have to be something else because genuinely, like, hearing you guys speak, like, I'm sat here so quietly because I'm in awe of everything you're saying. And, like, I've got little tears in my eyes now as well. Aww. But genuine, just never change. Be your authentic self because everything you do, like you were saying, it's your story. Live it. Mm. And 100% live it because we're all looking up to you.
And I think the thing in South Africa is, and every little bit you do there has a huge impact. It is the kind of place where 5p is a lot of money. And it can make a massive difference. Literally, if you had 100 rugby balls and you went and dropped it off at Babalba's parents' house now in Khayelitsha, it's going to make a difference. Like every tiny bit of impact you have, even the smallest, most nominal thing, can really have a huge ripple effect. Which is probably why you feel an immense amount of pressure and discomfort with all the attention that you get when you go back home, because you know that your behavior can have such far-reaching impacts. And also the lack of role models you had when you were 10, because there were no Asezas out in the world performing.
True. Yeah, it's so emotional. It is really emotional. You would think just small things doesn't matter, but little things, small things like rugby ball, it matters to them. It's huge to them. It's not just something small that you would think it is small. Like really, I have no words. Like have no
idea. There are kids who are playing rugby now because of you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's where your power is.
That's massive.
Yeah.
So now the big game, on the topic of massive things.
Oh, my goodness.
We can't talk about a big game.
No, it's a big deal because, Mo, do you still want to go out there and dominate our girls? Or do you just want to hug them?
I just want to be your best friend. Coming around for
Christmas. We're besties.
See, they're in Bristol for Christmas Day. Are you still in Bristol?
Yeah, of course.
I'm not that far from Bristol, so you'll have to make a trip to Gloucester. We'll have a little night out. Somewhere around there.
Where are you going? I'll host you at least.
We're visiting my aunt and uncle. They live up in Bristol. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a little braai.
Are you taking Christmas. All the surfers there?
You and I mean, everybody's welcome.
Everyone.
Yeah, we're definitely going up.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we're going to be by ourselves during Christmas. It's our first Christmas away from home.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, is it your first cold Christmas?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I asked them that earlier as well.
Can't wait to go to Bristol.
So you're going to Bristol.
Yes.
And then you're going to come back home and then you get to play Gloucester Hartbury.
Oh, yes.
And last year, you didn't play the big game last year either.
Did you?
It was postponed. What I mean is it wasn't in that week between Christmas and New Year.
The one at Twickenham.
The big one at Twickenham was postponed because of the rail strikes. Mm. So now you get to have that experience.
At that actual time. which is going to be big. I'm really excited for it.
Can't wait.
Because it's always a big occasion. Like last season was massive. Mm. It was a record attendance. You know, even the build up before that game was something I'd actually never experienced before. It was everywhere. You'd literally get on the train and you would see a poster of it or some type of marketing. I was like, wow, what are the English getting right that we aren't? You know, and I loved that. I love the fact that you can easily go to the stoop and see a poster of Joe Marler right next to a Sylvia or an Emily Robinson. You know, and I love the way that people go about women's rugby here. So I'm just demonstrating the fact that, you know, the big game is always a big occasion. It's always incredible to play at the Twickenham Stadium in front of a hopefully 30,000 odd, you know, crowd.
Yeah. On the back of buses, in the trains, the posters and the branding is absolutely everywhere. Incredible. Did you play against the Bar Bars, Cesar?
No.
You've never played at Twickenham?
No, I didn't.
So this is your first time?
Yes. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to smash my bestie.
What do you think that you play?
You must have confidence.
You must have confidence. Are you ready for it?
No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Worry, not if I make the team.
You will. You definitely will.
And this is a girl who a few years ago didn't even know what Twickenham was.
Look at me now.
Look at you now.
Shining.
Yeah.
Your ancestors' wildest dreams didn't even come close to this.
Yeah.
Hey?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Shows you the world is a big place and you can genuinely just go anywhere and do absolutely anything. A season that I hope you will look back on one day, both of you, and go, what a year. Such amazing memories, such an amazing opportunity, so much positive growth, and so many new friends made.
Mm. Yes. Hopefully. Now I've got a bestie. A
bestie.
Yeah. That's
my some bestie. More quiet regal presence in the corner. And Scazzy.
The lawyers and the
serious ones, the spokespeople.
We're just chilling.
They're just chilling. Yeah.
Yes.
What are you making for Christmas? Are you helping to make things? What's your special Cesar?
The auntie said we must just chill and just get ready to eat. You know?
But also, the pigs in blankets over here can stay.
What?
I have no idea. Oh, my goodness.
Do you know what a pigs in blanket is?
No.
Cesar is looking very concerned.
Never heard of a pigs in blankets?
I don't know what that is.
It's famous with our Christmas dinners.
What is it?
It's basically a little sausage.
Okay.
A little sausage?
Thin one.
Wrapped
in bacon. Oh, who'd have thought it?
Oh.
Wrapped in bacon.
That sounds nice.
It's unbelievable.
That sounds delicious.
With a proper roast turkey dinner.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
When someone says pigs in blankets, you say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, bacon. Every meat, come. Yeah. Please
bring for me.
Bring, yes. Yeah.
Because the bacon, they do that right here. Get the bacon in this country is of outstanding quality. That and the cheese, genuinely.
Nice.
It's my two favorite things outside of the postal service.
Pigs in. What is it called again? Pigs in?
Pigs in blankets.
Pigs in blankets. Yeah.
The bacon is the blanket.
Oh.
And what's the sausage, mate?
The pig.
Okay.
Okay.
We're still waiting for Elma to feed us at some point.
Okay. We can have a braai. We'll invite you. There will be pigs and blankets and pussy pigs.
Yes, I would love.
And pup.
Pigs and blankets.
And pup. Yes.
Thank you.
And an elf. There'll be an elf.
Just making sure.
And the elf will also come and she'll help prepare grating everything. Because you need to have the carrots in there.
Yes.
All the veggies. Thank you for joining us, girls.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
We've now used up all your English bundles for the day.
Oh, yeah, it's done. And it's
what time is it? Mine depends on the time. If it's after 7
for
p.m.
For Bibi, she's a lawyer. I'm just a random teacher, so yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
This has been The Good, the Scouse and the Rugby, brought to you by Vodafone. The Good, the Scouse and Rugby is a Folding Pocket production produced by our tinsel adorned Shira Kilgallen.
You've been listening to The Good, the Scouse and the Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
We missed you when you left, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Because I'm a vibe, actually. They're using me.
I couldn't tell.